Well, I guess my testimony didn't scare you off too bad. You came back. I want to continue to finish up the rest of my story with you, my kind of journey with Jesus. And allow you to get to know me as a brother in the Lord, my heart as a pastor, and how Jesus has brought me to the place where I'm at today. That's all on my phone. I've just highlighted certain points. So, anybody know where I left off last week? I know where I left off. What's that? Yes, that's exactly where I left off. Thank you. It's always hard because everybody's testimony could be hours long, right? And you're trying to think, what are the highlights? But I'd like you guys to get to know me. And like I told you, I was speaking with a friend from a long time ago, Briarcrest, who's pastoring in Coronation. And just talking about how well do people really get to know a pastor. And you can impress people from a distance, but I think impact only happens up close. And when we get close and personal with each other and kind of share our lives together, share our stories together. So I thought we would start with me as your pastor. And I told you about Magic Lake Bible Camp. I kind of was disillusioned a little bit with the church starting up, and then the party life kind of didn't have answers for me either. In fact, I remember feeling worse about myself after venturing through that for a while. And I go to this camp, and these kids start yelling at me because they had to call the counselor's name to find them, and they didn't know who I was. The counselors just invited me up because I drove there to visit my friend Cliff Pierce. And so I climb up the tree with them, and they said, "Who are you?" And I just said, "Tree man." I don't know why I said tree man, but those are the words that came out. And that was an impactful moment because I remember I got down and all these kids wanted to know about tree man. So I started making up these stories about tree man, and next thing you know, all these campers are sitting all around me. I remember the camp director saying, "Who is this guy? And who brought him here? Is he allowed to share stories?" And so it was an impactful moment, and I got to stay overnight and hear from a pastor who became a friend of mine named Norm Dirksen, who also went to Briarcrest. And I remember his devotional that morning really impacted me, and I remember thinking, I want to make a change in my life. And so Cliff had decided that he was going to go to Karenport Christian High School for his last year, his grade 12-year high school. And Cliff and I were really close growing up. Our dads knew each other when they were younger. So we kind of started hanging out quite a bit. We'd camp together. We had all kinds of funny stories together. We got in trouble together. And we were journeying with Jesus together. And so he really wanted me to go to Karenport with him. But I didn't have the financial means to do it. And his dad was a banker, so he had means to get there, but I did not. My parents were struggling financially. They went bankrupt, and so there was just no money there to be had. And so we went and met with my pastor at the time and his wife, Randy and Lori Moffitt, and they had me come and sit down with them, and they said, "Chad, why don't you go talk to your grandma? I bet you she would love to hear this news." So that same day in the morning, we prayed with them, and I made a lunch meeting with my grandma, so Cliff and I drove down from his town to my village, and we met with grandma, and she was thrilled that I wanted to make a change in my life. And so she wrote out a check for the first semester right there, and she said, I want you to do this. And I think my parents and my grandma never ever thought I would graduate. I remember when I graduated, I think there was a lot of tears because they just didn't think I was going to make it. I really hated school. I did not. I loved the friends part of it, but I just was not a good student. Not like my wife was anyway. And so I really struggled through school. So they were so happy to send me off to Karenport. And I remember sharing that verse that my grandma gave with me, Isaiah 41:10. I had somebody read it out. He will uphold you. He will strengthen you with his righteous right hand. He's with you. And so I remember hanging on to that. And so I made my way to Karenport Christian High School, but I made my way there as a very religious person, a Pharisee, if you will. That's how I went to Bible college. I grew up in that Brethren church, right? So that's kind of all I knew. One of the elders of that church, he got asked to pastor in the town where my friend Cliff Pierce was, and they were a family friends of ours, and he still is to this day, actually. Randy played a vital role in my life, but he kind of branched off and said, I don't think this is quite the message that God wants to give to the church. So this two congregations up in Roblin, they got together and they asked him to come and pastor it. And so his messages were kind of the first time I heard about grace, but I didn't understand grace. I didn't get it because I grew up hearing the law, and that's all that I understood. And so I went to Karenport, not really, I remember feeling inadequate, very inadequate. I felt like everybody was so far ahead of me in their Christian journey, and I actually didn't know a whole lot. That's how I felt. I didn't know a whole lot. I didn't probably read and study my Bible like others. I was surprised they let me in because of the questions that they asked you on the forms. I thought there's no way they're going to let me in. But they did. They let me in. And obviously it was part of God's plan. But I remember thinking, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to really try hard to be the best Christian there because that's probably what's going to be expected of me when I go there. And all these other Christians like Cindy, who are so spiritual and godly and trying to keep up with all of them, Cliff, I just felt like I was so inadequate. I just couldn't do this. And so I remember just feeling that constantly, but I really wanted to try hard. I wanted to try and be the best Christian that I could possibly be there. And I'd never really had a girlfriend to this point. So I'm grade 12. I went there as a 16-year-old, and so I left home early. I was 16 years old when I left home in August when they dropped me off, and I turned 17 in October of that fall. And so I left home early. I knew I wanted to get out of the house because Mom and Dad were struggling all the time to get along, and like I told you, was just yelling and arguing and just, again, I remember the advice that I told you the elders gave my dad, and I think it just started off a slew of difficulties for my parents in getting along. And so I go there. I've never had a girlfriend before, but I remember thinking, oh my goodness, there's a lot of Christian women here. And I said, well, maybe I can catch one. But I was pretty insecure. I probably didn't show it on the outside, but on the inside, I was pretty insecure. But I think I tried to look confident on the outside. But in the inside, I was in the fetal position crying like a little baby in the corner. That's how insecure I felt. And so I remember this girl. Yes. Cindy, you remember that? Oh, my goodness. Well, now I got to say her name. Yes, Jennifer Teeson was her name. Yes, thank you, Cindy, for sharing that. Yeah, and she liked me, and her brother really liked me too. Like, he was in my dorm, not in that way, by the way, just as friends. Sorry, should clarify that. Jason and I were good friends, and got to know him, and so I met Jennifer, and she kind of gave me attention, and I had flings with girls, but I never had somebody who I'd call my girlfriend at this point. And so I never slept with anyone. That was one thing growing up in that church that my mom instilled the fear of God. If I slept with a woman before marriage, lightning would strike and I would be dead. So, and I've never forgotten those words from my mama. So I was not going to do that because she had made me scared enough of God if I did something like that before marriage. So So I was, I don't know, I was interested because somebody else was interested in me. And so I dated this girl, and I remember somebody showed me, I don't know if it was my dean, Jim McGee was his name, we had the best dean in there, and I think he showed me 1 Corinthians 13, and I to this point in my life, I'd never really read it. And he said, Chad, this is the standard of God's love. And so I remember reading it, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. Love keeps no record of wrongs, and it's not easily angered. It always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. And I remember when I read that phrase, love always perseveres. I remember thinking, okay, so whether it's good or bad, you persevere in that love. But I didn't have an understanding of how does God love through me, right? Christ in me, right? My hope of glory. Abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I had no understanding of that. So I was going to try and persevere with my human love. But I quickly realized you can have that standard of love. Like, you're going to not keep record of wrongs. You're not going to be easily angered. You're going to persevere. You're going to trust in the other. You're going to hope. But I quickly found out that has to also be reciprocated. And so I started dating Jen in October. I didn't take very long. Only took a month. But by January, she wanted to break up with me. And I was heartbroken. And I remember thinking, no, but we're supposed to persevere. But she didn't reciprocate that. And I think she felt I was too serious. She just wanted to date, but I always wanted to, I thought we were supposed to date with the intention of marriage. At least that was my understanding and what Jim was teaching me and what I was kind of learning. And so, but I remember feeling pressure. And my stomach, I lost so much weight because I got worried that she's going to break up with me. And then it came true. And so I lost so much weight. I couldn't eat the cafeteria food, not because it was bad, but because my stomach couldn't, I just couldn't stomach anything. I was so stressed, and I put all that stress right into my stomach, and I felt sick constantly. And then it happened. And I remember feeling actually a little bit of relief that it had happened. Okay, well, that's done. And so I thought, you know what? This is just not God's will for me, I guess. And so that ended. But it left an impression on me. I thought, well, she liked me for a bit, so if I can hook them, I need to change something about me so they want to stay longer, right? I was able to learn how to hook them in, but now I got to learn how to keep them on the line, right? Thinking like fishing, okay? I fished a lot growing up with my dad. So I'm thinking that didn't work. So I thought, well, maybe there is something wrong with me. And then later in the spring, another girl liked me. Actually, there was a few more girls who liked me, and I thought, wow, well, maybe I'm not that bad, but I still don't know if I can keep one. And so I dated another girl, and she was the vice president of the high school, and Jen's, Cindy's not going to say her name. I believe her name was Sherry. Mm-hmm. Sherry Lindstrom. And so we kind of dated through the touring choir. What was it called? Tour choir? Cindy, is that what a Karenport High School tour choir? And we traveled around at spring break, and I discovered she liked me there, and so we started dating. And then we graduated, summer came, she went off to a Christian camp to work, I went off to Madge Lake Bible Camp to work there, and towards the end of the camping summer, she called me up and she said, I met somebody else, and I'm breaking up with you and going with him. Oh, man, that stung. That really, really stung. And I felt like, man, am I the only one who's going to love always perseveres? But nobody else is. There must be truly something wrong with me. Right? She liked another guy. She broke up with me. I was crushed. And I thought, I don't think I'm that half bad looking. I think I'm a pretty nice guy. What is it that's turning them all off from me? And so that was very difficult for me at that stage in my life. And I remember coming home from camp, and I probably cried for about a week. And just thought, man, how am I going to do this? So I remember I went to, towards the end of that grade 12 year, they had the professors from the Bible college and high school serve the students a meal in the cafeteria. And I remember this guy, he worked for Briarcrest, and his job was to help place people once they've graduated into different churches and into different jobs. His name was Bob Gowan or Bob McCowan or something like that. Bob was his first name. Doesn't matter if you spell it front ways or back ways, it's still Bob. And so Bob, I remember, sat down with me and he served me. And for the first time in my life, because remember, like I told you, I was pretty insecure. I wanted to be cool. I just wanted to fit in. I just wanted to belong. But things in my life kept happening to me. I gave you one example. Remember riding my bike with no hands? I thought that was so cool. And then the chain comes off and I fall on the pavement and pass out. Knocked myself out. And I could tell you more stories like that happened to me, but it would get redundant for you. So Bob comes to me and says, Chad, what are your plans? And I said, well, I am not sure. I'm going to maybe go into be a criminal lawyer or something like that. I don't know. I saw something in a catalog and I just picked it out. that sounds interesting to me. And for the first time, somebody believed in me. And I'll never forget his words to this day. He said, you know what, Chad? You would make the most excellent youth pastor. I think you should go into youth ministry. You sing, you play guitar. Man, youth ministries need something like that. I've heard you preach a couple times. A little rough around the edges, but we can round that out. He said, I think you have such a good heart. You're kind. You love people. I know you love the Lord. I think you should go into the youth ministry. I've never had anybody come and share something like that to me before, like in such a real way, like it's just right in my face, right there. And I thought, hey, that's exactly what I'll do. Nobody else has told me anything. I don't have any ideas. So I'll just take that from the Lord. So I end up going to Karenport Bible College, Briarcrest Bible College. So I went from their high school, graduated from that over to their Bible college. And I spent 2 years of Bible college there at Briarcrest. And I still had not understood the Christian life at this point. I was working it over. I was trying to understand it. I took all my Bible. That's all I took there at Briarcrest was all Bible classes. That's all I took. I wasn't interested in the humanities and all the social sciences you could take. I just took all Bible because I really wanted to figure this Christian thing out, this Christian life out. And so I went to Bible college. And I remember thinking there, I got asked to be a part of this singing music drama team. It was called Mandate. And I thought, you know what? No, I remember this lady, Connie Main. Cindy, do you remember Connie Main? Tracy, do you remember her? Connie, yeah, you would remember her. Connie Main, and she was in charge of this drama singing group. And she wanted me to be a part of it, but I thought, you know what? No. I said, I'm done with women. My heart's been broken twice. I am absolutely done with women. That just hurts too bad, and I don't want to go there anymore. So I'm not gonna do the girlfriend thing anymore. My heart is too fragile. Broken twice. I thought, no, I'm just going to work on my relationship with the Lord. I remember saying that. So, Lord, I'm going to put all my time into getting to know you and my studies, all my Bible courses. And that was my job. So I put all of my efforts into that. And I was reading the Bible. I was praying. I was wondering where all the rest of them were on Sunday mornings. I'm up early at Briarcrest reading my Bible. Where is all the rest of the students? So shouldn't they be doing the same thing? Look at the opportunities we have. You know, and I'm getting into the Word, and that's how I was thinking. I'm just being honest with you. And I'm getting to know the Lord. I'm reading the Word. I'm into these Bible courses. And Connie Main would not leave me alone. She kept leaving notes in my box. You get the student boxes, right? And you get these things called care cards, and people could just write on it and show love to you and care for you, throw it in your box. And Connie kept writing on these care cards, please come to see me in my office. I'd like you to be part of this team. And I kept ignoring it. But this went on for about 3 weeks. So I remember finally, I went, and it was on a Monday, and there was another card that she put in over the weekend. Are you please come see me? I really sense that you should be part of this music drama team. And so I remember I went back to my room, and I said, okay, Lord. This was to the degree of faith that I had at this point in my life. I said, okay, Lord, if this is what you want from me, she will stop putting notes in my student box. If there's no more notes, then I know it's from you. And this, because this had been going on for about 3 weeks. And so if there's no notes in my box for the rest of this week, if there's nothing there by Friday, if I go Friday at noon and there's a card, oh, no, I'm not supposed to do it. But if there's no card for this whole week, I know I'm supposed to do this. So that's what I said to the Lord. I remember praying. I went on my knees in the middle of my dorm room. I'd get on my knees if I could. And I remember just praying that. And I got up and said, okay. Well, do you think she put another card in my stinking box? No, my student box was empty for the rest of that week. So coming Friday lunch, I went over to that box to see if there was going to be a card in there, and there was no card. I thought, well, I thought this was a great idea. I put into my studies, I thought Mom would be proud, Grandma sure would be proud. You know, I'm actually going to work on my schooling. But no, so I said, okay, I told the Lord, so I went and saw Connie. She goes, Chad, I've been bugging you for 3 weeks. I said, I know, I was hoping you were going to leave me alone. But I told her the story that I just told you, and she goes, great, you're hired. And on that music team were these two missionaries from Spain, these two girls. And they were missionaries from España. One was named Elisa Bush, and the other was named Tracy Bush, now known as Tracy Salen. And I thought, man, I heard people talking a language. Like if you can date a PK or an MK. And I remember asking, what is a PK and an MK? Everybody's talking in a code. And then I found out from somebody that said, oh, a PK is a pastor's kid, and an MK is a missionary kid. I said, oh, I want one of those girls who have a code. And so that sounded pretty cool to me. So I go to this music drama team, and there's Tracy. Now, I have to admit, I wasn't quite attracted to her at first. She had this perm that was done that was so tight, you know, and she remembers this. We just talked about this the other day, and I really didn't notice her. But I remember they were very nice, and she was one of the codes. She was an MK, a missionary kid. And her parents were missionaries in Spain, and they were there. And I thought, well, that's really cool. Maybe I can win one of them over. And so I hung out with her sister first, Elisa, but I kind of didn't at that time. I just the way she talked and did things and said things about her sister, I just was not. And then I remember I had a little car. We called it Little Smokey because I put more oil than gas in the thing, and it just burned oil. It was a Hyundai XL. My dad got it for me for $500, and that was my ride back and forth around college. And so I remember taking Tracy's sister up to Moose Jaw, and we got there, and we came back, and her sister Lisa says, well, Tracy's in the gym. You want to go hang out with her? She's watching the volleyball game or basketball game or something. I don't know what kind of game it was because I was not interested in the game. Because when I got there, Tracy's hair had grown out. And now I looked at it, and I thought, oh, well, this MK looking good, right? And so I remember when I walked away feeling so stupid, because I remember just staring at her and not even watching the game. And I thought, oh, no, she's going to think I'm a complete idiot. And so she showed interest in me, but I was still very insecure at that point, so insecure. And I thought, man, I know I can hook him. I just can't keep him on the line. There's something inherently wrong with me, I think. And so I was really nervous. And then my intern came to me one day. He was friends with Tracy's sister, Lisa, and he said, do you think anybody likes you? And I said, why, do you know somebody? He says, no, I can't say. I've been sworn to secrecy. I said, well, why would you do that? And he said, but just think about it. Who? Just think, is there somebody you like? And maybe somebody likes you. And I said, that MK, Tracy Bush? And he just smiled. He says, I can't say, but he had a big smile. And I remember I left right that moment. I found her in the library. I would never be found there. And I knew this was a good thing for me when she's in the library studying. And I asked her out right there. Now, that event had a big impact on my life, because she was going to teach me a little bit about grace. Because at this point, I had no clue what grace looked like. I didn't know. I was like, Christians need to work harder. Christians need to pray more. Christians need to read their Bible more. Christians need to share their faith more. Christians need to keep the rules better. That's the kind of Christian I was at that point in my life. And I was miserable. I wasn't enjoying it. And because I couldn't keep up with it, I was working hard to keep up with my Christianity. And I really wanted others to follow with me in that, because misery loves company, right? And I wanted people to be miserable with me in this. And maybe together we can figure this Christian thing out. And so I remember, I will share this story, and then I think we'll pause maybe. I remember my Christianity was making me so miserable that I remember at Christmas break, I went home, and my old friends heard that I was home. And so they asked me out. So I said, okay, let's go out. And so we went out, and they took me to a bar, and I remember we would go play the slot machines. And I honestly have to be honest with you, I didn't know how to play them because I'd never played them before in my life. But they taught me quickly. And I remember you could put a loony in, and if you won enough, you could cash out. So that's what I did. I put a loony in, and then I'd win enough, and then I'd go get a drink. And then I'd save a buck, and I kept doing that all night. And I remember drinking that night, and I got drunk that night. And I remember I ended up in a hotel room full of girls that I didn't sleep with. I don't know how I made it out of there, but I had no place to stay. And I remember feeling ashamed the next morning, so embarrassed and ashamed. And I called my dad. He said, where are you? I said, I'm at the Russell Inn. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. Could you just please come get me? And I remember feeling absolutely terrible, because when I went to Karenport, I had to sign a code saying you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do any of that stuff. And I remember just feeling so shameful, like I'm the worst Christian in the world. I am the absolute worst Christian in the world. I remember feeling that, and I felt that deep in my heart. I said, maybe I'm not cut out for this. This is for those who can actually keep up with it and do it. That was my thought. And I remember I was dating Tracy already. And I came, and I felt so embarrassed and so ashamed, but I knew I couldn't handle that guilt without telling her. And I'm thinking, I know she's going to break up with me. Because who would want to go out with such a sinner like that? Such a person who would do something like that. Just such a mess, and who just can't live this Christian life. And so when we got back, I remember mustered up enough to say, hey, I'm going to take you to Smitty's. That's all I could afford as a student, okay? I took her to Smitty's and Moose Jaw, and that's all I could afford. And I took her out, and I said, Tracy, I need to tell you something. And I said, this is what I did over Christmas break. And I said, I'm so sorry. I know you want to break up with me. And she just looked at me and she said, why? And I said, what do you mean? She didn't understand. And she goes, why? Why would I want to break up with you? Well, I just told you the story about how sinful I am and what a wretch I am. And I can't do this thing. And she goes, I don't care about that. God's forgiven you. Have you accepted his forgiveness? And I remember that was my first taste of grace in my life. I thought, no way. She still wants to go out with me? And I messed up that bad? Like, I messed up that bad. And so I got a taste of grace on that day. And that ended up kind of taking me on a certain path in my life now, because I only understood Christianity under the law, right? The old covenant. I had not understood Christianity under the new covenant, right? Where Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and grace has now come. And so I still had not understood that yet. And so that had a very integral, it was like a new path. A new chapter had started and one had ended. That's what it felt like to me. And now I'm starting, and I remember thinking, I kind of like grace, right? I really like grace. Not a person, but grace. I really like grace. And I remember thinking, wow, I like how that felt. It kind of made me feel a little bit free, right? And instead of burdened and in bondage. And I was growing in it. And I remember, I'll end on this story and then I'll complete the last part of my journey next Sunday. The last part of it. But I remember I'm transitioning, I'm learning a little bit more about grace, but I'm still kind of living under the law. And I remember I was working out in Prince George, BC between my Bible college years. And I found some, I went out there to look for work. Tracy's aunt and uncle had lived out there, and they invited Tracy and I to come out to find some work out there, and we could live with them for the summer. And I thought, great, I didn't have any other plans, and I get to be by my girlfriend, right? And I thought, this is kind of cool. So they let us live in their house and look for work down there. And I remember that summer, my brother was looking for work, but he was kind of cheating to get this job. And I remember telling my parents, I think this is wrong, and I'm going to have to say something. And my parents said, Chad, no, it's not illegal, it's not this, you know, but I'm still living under the law, and I didn't understand grace. And I said, no, I think I have to do this. I have to turn them in. I have to let them know. And my mom said, do you not understand grace? And my parents pleading with me not to say anything. And they put on enough pressure that I felt like I would just be this horrible son if I said something, so I never. And I remember that summer, my mom sent me a book, and it was called The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. Anybody ever read that book before? I would suggest it for anybody. It was my first book I read on grace in the Christian life. I had never read a book like that before. It's called The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. And I still don't have that book. It got passed around, and I have no clue where it is today. Hopefully it's still being passed around. But I couldn't hang on to that book because everybody wanted to read it. But it was my first picture of grace, and it tells the story of Brennan Manning himself. He's a pastor. And he was an alcoholic, and he left his kid out in the car. Oh, I shouldn't tell you. I'm going to give it away. Just read the book. Yeah, otherwise I'm going to ruin it for you. What do they call that? What did I just do? What's the word? Spoiler alert. Thank you. Sorry about that. I didn't tell it all, though, okay? But if you want to understand grace, if you're a Christian who is still struggling with understanding law and grace and how it all works together, I would absolutely suggest reading The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. But I remember reading that book, and in my bedroom, I cried through every page. I just remember just tearing up, and I'm starting to understand, because my parents understood, you know what, Chad didn't transition like we did as we got out of that Brethren church. He stuck there still. And so I remember reading that book, and I remember that summer was a big summer for me. I got a job with College Pro Painting, it was called. And I hate painting to this day, but it was a summer job. And I remember the crew, they knew I was a Christian. And so I remember having conversations with them, and they asked me tough questions that I couldn't answer at the time, all of them, you know. But I remember them saying, well, that's pretty mean. So you think all of us are going to hell? And I just said, yeah. And I remember one of them saying, wow, you're really mean. I remember one of the guys saying that. I said, well, that's kind of it. If you don't believe in God, you're going to hell. And that place sucks, let me tell you. And I remember they're like, man, like that's harsh. And I remember, so I didn't have a great explanation of the gospel at that point in my life, but I was learning about grace that summer. I was learning about the grace of God. And it was a change from living under the law. I was a Pharisee, I'm not going to lie, that's who I was. I was a religious leader, I was a teacher of the law. But I was starting to learn about grace after I read this book. And I just remember crying through that whole book and learning about the grace of God. And I remember that was a good summer for me. It was a really good summer. It was in between my first and second year at Briarcrest Bible College. And so let's pause there because it's 10:02 and I know we need to eat and people need to go to and people have stuff going on. So can I pause there? Is that okay? And will you allow me one more Sunday to finish it up? And we'll do a three-part. Yes, I know, in three Sundays, 40 minutes, I know. It's a challenge. So we'll make it a three-part, but I have to share with you the last bit now and where God got me to where I'm standing here today. So those were highlight points. Okay? Good? Can we pray? Let me pray for the food. Let me pray for you in your week. And I'll look forward to sharing some food and fellowship with you downstairs. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness. And thank you, Lord, for how you are with us on each stage of our journey, every chapter of it, every situation and every circumstance, whether we recognize it or not. I know sometimes it feels like we're in a dark room where we can't see anything. But even in those dark rooms of our lives, you're still there. You're still there. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they said to you, as they're about to be burned in a fiery furnace, even if he doesn't show, he will still believe. And Lord, I think that's an important thing, that no matter what our circumstances in our lives are right now, we're still going to choose to believe because we know you're real. We don't have the bird's eye view on our life. You do. So you know every step of the way. That's why you're never worried, because you see how it all fits together. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends here, my family, my brothers and my sisters, Lord, that they can have faith on how you have it all pieced together, that you already have a thing laid out for them ahead of time, and that you're trustworthy, and we can trust you with the path that you have each of us on. And I pray that that path always leads to Christ in me, my only hope of glory, and understanding that in a deeper and deeper way as we journey. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for this family here. And, Lord, thank you for the food. I know you'll bless it to our body's use, Lord. And let us enjoy fellowship with one another, hanging out with one another, getting to know one another better. And bless the food to our body's use. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. Amen? Okay. Thank you. We'll see you downstairs. Please come and join us for potluck.